Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the LA Rams edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Pod Vader. And that's right. I left off the of St. Louis part because the LA Rams have finally become the LA Rams. They fired their head coach, Jeff Fisher. And, you know, that's a big move for a small team. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're actually going to talk a little about that with my guest coming up, Daniel Dopp, the producer extraordinaire at ESPN, a podcast producer of many different podcasts, many of which you may have heard of, and of course, My Apprentice. No, I'm not going to make that joke. I said I wasn't going to make that joke when I talked to him. I'm not going to make that joke now, although I just made it, so, oh well, it's been done, it's been said. It is a podcast, I could edit it out, but I'm not going to. So Daniel Dopp coming up. We're going to be talking about the Lions and their prospects coming up. You know, we don't have a Lions super fan. So if you wanted to come in and represent your Lions on this podcast, it's pretty easy. All you have to do is send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com, and I'll bring you right into the podcast. It's that easy. We also don't have a representative for the Titans or the Buccaneers. So if you want to represent any of those teams, please send us in an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. Our Panthers superfan seems to have gone MIA too. Jimmy Six, where are you, man? Where are you? Oh, he got married. That usually does cause some problems when it comes to podcasting. But at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about some of the head coaching candidates and sort of my thoughts on that, because the Thursday night game, we do have a Thursday night preview. But it's the Rams and the Seahawks, and well, they basically spent a good amount of time talking about the Rams coaching position. Although, there is a little bit of concern. You're going to hear that between the superfans. But right now, you're going to hear me talking with the Secret Squirrel. All right, it's my pleasure now to bring in, I'm not going to, you know, I've made this joke before, and people make this joke all the time because I'm Pod Vader, that you would be my Padawan. Oh, or my apprentice, but I'm not going to make that. I'm not going to make that joke, Secret Squirrel. This is Daniel Dopp, extraordinary producer at ESPN. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. You know, my team is in first place in the AFC right now, but I think what's more surprising is your team is actually in playoff contention.
Right, second place in the NFC, technically, with the Seahawks' loss to the Packers, and sole control of the NFC North.
You know, every year I do these, you know, win-loss predictions on where I think teams are going to be in the preseason, and I was a bigger fan of the Lions than others. I had them with 4 victories on the year.
Shut up, I hate you.
You clearly have surpassed that.
Yeah.
What's been the key? I mean, you lost the greatest wide receiver. Well, one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. I mean, what's been the key for the Lions so far this year?
In my opinion, there was a lot of talk going into the season of people saying, is losing Calvin Johnson going to make Matthew Stafford a better quarterback? It seems like such a ridiculous statement. But if you really think about it, it sort of makes sense. You know, and it's easy to say in hindsight, but the people that were saying at the beginning of the season, I have to give a ton of credit to, because when you have a guy like Calvin Johnson and you get in a situation where you need a big play or you need a, you know, it's a, you're scrambling around in the pocket and you got to figure out, you know, where am I going to go downfield? It's just too easy to throw it up to a guy that's 6'5", runs a 4.3 40, is the size of a basically a tight end. And so I think a lot of Matthew Stafford being patient and going through reads and understanding how to be a better quarterback, it wasn't necessarily something he had to do with Calvin Johnson, because he had a guy that was better than everyone else on the field. So this year I feel like he's been more patient. He's going through his reads. He's also not, you know, taking as many deep shots downfield. He's a bit more conservative and picking and choosing his shots, which, you know, means he's not throwing for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns as he's done in the past, but, you know, You don't need to do that. Sometimes you just need to be a really good game manager and get your team in a situation to score. And he's been a ton better at that. He hasn't been turning the ball over. And his growth under Jim Bob Cooter has been the key to the Lions' success this year.
Oh, you mentioned the name, so I guess I'm going to go in that direction first. So, I mean, the man with the best name in the NFL.
Right.
You worried at all that he's heading off to L.A. or someplace else?
I'm not sure that I'm worried about him as much as to be honest, I'd be worried about our defensive coordinator, with Terrell Austin. I think JBC, as I like to call him, I think him and Matthew have a connection that he would stick around for, especially if the Lions continue their winning ways. And who knows? You know, it depends on how the postseason goes and how everything wraps up. But he has been fantastic, and Matthew Stafford under his tutelage since he took over as the offensive coordinator. I mean, his numbers are top five quarterback in the NFL, and that's, you know, you can choose to believe it or not, but statistically, that's how he has looked. So I don't think we'll lose him. I do worry that we might lose Terrell Austin. A lot of teams last year were asking to interview him, our defensive coordinator, and what he's doing this year with a bunch of scrubs, and you know, you bring in a new GM, you completely rehaul basically the bottom two thirds of your roster, you know, trying to find depth and the right people to be able to build with. What he's doing is, in my opinion, is incredible. The fact that we've been able to be as good on defense as we have been. So I'm hoping we make a deep playoff run that everyone wants to stick around, because you never know. It's been a while since the Lions made a playoff run, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, when you look at that offense, you're doing it without a running game. You rank 29th mm-hmm. in the league in terms of rushing yards per game. You've got fantasy whack-a-mole Golden Tate, who, you know, has decided to mess my fantasy season. He dumped it down the toilet a couple weeks ago.
Right.
You know, Matthew Stafford, you mentioned, is a top five quarterback. I mean, Anquan Boldin seems to have found the fountain of youth. Although I don't necessarily know. I think the death of Anquan Boldin was highly overrated. I think he was a huge acquisition for the Lions for sure.
Oh, yeah. I think the biggest – he has probably been the biggest free agent acquisition on the offensive side of the football, because he's a guy that came in, and not only does he just have that veteran leadership, but, you know, it's third and four or third and five, and the Lions need to make sure that they get the ball to a four-handed guy that's going to pick up the first down. And here comes a slant route to Anquan Boldin. I've seen it so many times, and the defenses even know that it's coming, but he's just such a big – physical guy. You know, the whole, especially a wide receiver, you can get old, and if you are fundamentally sound, it doesn't make a difference if you aren't the fastest guy in the NFL. You've got good hands, you run good routes, and he's just a leader in the locker room. I mean, that veteran presence is huge for Detroit. So not being able to run the football is tough, though. I mean, losing Amir Abdullah, you know, this is 2 years now where we've seen glimpses of him, and he's gotten hurt and things haven't worked out the way that we've hoped. And there are times where he looks like he could be a good running back. I don't think he doesn't look like a superstar to me, but he'd be a good starting running back, especially if you have somebody, you know, like a Theo Riddick to be able to pair him with from a pass catching perspective. Theo has been incredible, especially if you're in a PPR league for fantasy, but for the Lions, that is their running game. I mean, screen passes, those short little dump offs, little stuff like that, even out in the flat with, you know, Golden Tate or pick whoever you want. That's how they run the ball, because they're just not as good right through the trenches up in the middle. And so I worry about that come playoff time. I'm not going to lie. It'd be nice to have a guy like LeGarrette Blount or, you know, a bigger running back that you need 2 yards. You just have someone that can put their head down and force their way through the line. But we'll see. The lack of a running game is definitely going to be something that I have to keep an eye on, and the Lions will keep an eye on as they get into the postseason, because teams are just going to focus on shutting down the pass.
So your remaining schedule is at the Giants. You got the Cowboys on Monday Night Football, and then you finish with Green Bay. So what realistically are your chances you're still in first place in this division come the end of Week 17?
That's tough. That's tough. I mean, right now we've got a 2-game lead over the Packers. But isn't this, Jay, tell me, honestly, haven't you seen this story before where, like, Green Bay totally performs all year until Aaron Rodgers is like, hey, guys, remember, we need to start playing football now. And then they win the last, like, 6 games. And it's like, no matter what happens, like, you think that you're going to, like, by virtue of everyone else just being terrible in your division, they're like, oh, no, we got it. Green Bay's, like, 4-7. Like, we'll be fine. And then all of a sudden they turn it on and they win a tiebreaker and you're just, oh, it kills me. I've seen this story so many times. So I'm worried. I don't trust us against Dallas. And I don't trust very many people against us right now, regardless of what just happened against the Giants. I think when you have division rivals, you can basically throw records out the window and it's just a totally different game. It just doesn't count. So
I mean, Matt Barkley almost beat you.
Exactly. I mean, look at you see Matt Barkley, you know, and it's nothing against him, but he's not a great quarterback. You know, maybe the Bears have something and they can work with him, but division rivals are just a grinded out knockout kind of a game. And so that Cowboys Giants game was something I watched closely because being our next two opponents, you know, neither one of them looked good, but I have to keep in mind, those are just different games. Division games are just different. So I think against the Giants, they put everything they had into that Cowboys win. I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit was able to pull one out against New York next week. I think it's still going to be a tough game. The Giants are, regardless of, you know, they're 9-4 just like us. And regardless of how things look for them or the way that they've played, they're a winning team. And so it's going to be a tough game, but I think they're kind of in the same situation. They don't have a great running game with Rashad Jennings. He's, you know, average. And Vereen going out, I mean, he was huge for them from a pass-catching perspective. And so I think we take the Giants. I think we lose to the Cowboys and the Packers at home. Man.
And that's going to be deciding because the Packers at the Bears and then host the Vikings and then they're at the Lions. So the Packers have nothing but divisional games remaining.
Yep.
And by the way, the Vikings are in the same position as the Packers. So, I mean, you look at the Vikings in the last 3 games of the season. And of course it's not going to let me go there very easily. You know, you should let your bosses know that they should make it easier to switch from team to team on their website.
They've got the
Colts, the Packers and the Bears. So the Bears here are playing spoiler in your division for sure.
Right. Right. So luckily we did everything we needed to be able to not let them spoil it for us. But I'm serious. Like, especially with Aaron Rodgers' calf injury, what's going on there? Hopefully, you know, it's not anything serious or long-term. You never want to see even a bitter rival, you know, have injuries, but if it's something that's going to affect him against a Chicago Bears team, they got a tough defense. You know, you string together a couple of touchdowns and you play good D. I don't think if Matthew Stafford hadn't hurt his hand, I would have said Detroit could take that game against Green Bay in Week 17. As a pessimistic Lions fan that has lived through this year after year where it's like right there in your grasp, I get nervous, especially with the injury to Stafford's throwing hand, that Week 17 game, even though it's in Detroit, is going to be too much. And Green Bay is going to take the division, and at best, Detroit will be a wild card team. So I think they have the talent, but I think anytime that your quarterback hurts his throwing hand, and the way that Stafford did it is fairly substantial. They can say whatever they want, but learning how to throw with a glove and understanding that everything changes. Even if it's just mental, it's a completely different thing than what you've been doing for the last 8 years of your professional career. Throwing with a glove is nothing. It's not like a small thing. So I think we make the playoffs, but I don't think that we win the division.
All right, so at 10-6, let's see here. You are looking at possibly facing, well, you could end up in a position where you end up facing the Packers again.
Yeah, Lambeau. We would play the Packers at Ford Field and then the Packers at Lambeau.
That would not be. Yeah. And if you think you're losing that game at Ford Field, I got some bad news for you about the Packers at Lambeau.
Yeah. Listen, here's the thing about Detroit, and I am that Lions fan that I want to believe it. I see it. I don't want to see it game after game. I want to see it, like, give me 2 years of seeing them be an actual good football team. It's so easy for us as Lions fans to be like, yeah, but look at what they've done. Look at what they've done. But they don't put together full seasons. They put together glimpses within games, or they'll put together a game-winning drive. I want to see them be successful for multiple years in a row so that when we get to this spot next year, it's we've been here before and we've overcome, not just, well, yeah, but we won, we've come from behind so much this year. Like, I'm sure we can do it again. That's not where you want to be, but I do love that from Matthew Stafford. I mean, he's been fantastic from that standpoint. So hopefully we Maddie's injury isn't as big as I'm making it out to be, but I worry. Where do you think we're at? Where do you have us?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about Maddie's injury, because I do think the strength of your team is obviously your quarterback. And with him playing, not at 100%, it's going to hurt you. And I don't see you winning this week against the Giants. I think you got a chance. I definitely think it's a close game. But you're on the road. I'm going to give the edge to the Giants. I don't think you can take anybody over the Cowboys unless you're the Giants, because that's apparently what the Giants do. They just like to beat undefeated teams. So I can't really give the edge over Dallas. And then I do think, you mentioned it earlier, it's a rivalry game and you're at home against the Packers. I think that's your best shot to sort of solidify your spot. Obviously, you're going to want that two spot, but if you drop two games here down the stretch, I don't think you're going to get that first round bye that I think your team would desperately need. That puts you in a spot where you will have to face probably the Falcons or the Giants again. If you're lucky, maybe you pull the Buccaneers or the Redskins. But I don't think you want to face the Redskins. And, who knows about those plucky Buccaneers?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of them, because some weeks they look really good, and their defense has been actually surprisingly good. They got a ton of talent. I mean, Jameis Winston, when he plays well, he plays really well. And Mike Evans is just a freak of nature. I worry that Detroit is a team that hasn't been to the playoffs enough to have that savvy to be able to make a deep playoff run. I mean, first you got to worry about getting into the playoffs and getting out of the first round. I mean, once you get out of the first round, it's like, all right, now we're in territory that we haven't been in since Barry Sanders timeframe. So,
but then
that's
when you're
not
in the
funny.
First round, you're looking at a trip to Seattle or a trip to Dallas.
Yep.
So yep. If you can maintain that second seed, if you can somehow, if you can pull off the victory over the Giants, maybe hope the Cowboys are letting the foot off the pedal here down the road, and then get the win over the Packers and maintain that second seed. I really think that puts you in a huge advantageous spot, because I don't see, we know Seattle doesn't travel well. I do think you'd still have a problem with the Falcons, even if you were hosting them. Just because you're both playing indoors. And then you're looking at the Giants, whom you've already would have beaten, and the Buccaneers, as we just mentioned, that up and down team. So I think really the only team that's, right on the cusp of the playoffs that you're really concerned about are the Redskins and the Packers, because I think those two teams would cause you probably the biggest problem other than the Falcons that I had mentioned. But
We have beat both Washington and Green Bay this year, so at least there's that for us. But, nothing's ever certain. And with the number of come-from-behind victories the Lions have, it's like, I feel like it's the opposite of the Browns, where, like, everyone's saying, like, eventually, like, they got to win a game, right? Like, eventually the Browns are going to get a W. I feel like a Lions, it's like, eventually this luck is going to run out, and we're not going to be able to continue these late-game heroics. Like, it's just not possible. You've got to be good enough to be able to put teams away before you get to the 3-minute mark of the fourth quarter. So,
right.
We'll find out.
All right. Well, you are the producer of that that fantasy show. I think a few people have heard of it. And that Bill Barnwell fella, I guess you're best friends with him. You know, I think people have heard of him too. But you do a whole bunch of stuff, including your own little show over there.
I do the ESPN Music podcast, where I'll have bands that are coming through. We just did the Color Morale, but we've had a ton of people come through. So if you're into any of the indie rock, kind of singer-songwriter, hardcore kind of stuff, it would be great if you would check it either in iTunes or in the ESPN app. We had For the Scenes Forever, August Burns Red, We Came as Romans, Yellow Card, The Wonder Years, All Time Low, David Bazan, a number of great bands. Regardless of what Matthew Berry says, people have heard of these people. So if you're into music and you want to check it out, it would be fantastic. I would love it if you guys would listen to the ESPN Music podcast. I have a ton of fun being able to talk sports and music with these guys, two things that are a big fan of mine. So I would love it if you guys could check that out.
All right, Daniel, good luck to your team. Sorry I wasn't able to really give you a lot of confidence there, but good luck at the very least.
I appreciate you having me on, Jay. It's been good to talk.
All right, this is Justin, your Seahawks superfan, here with Jared, the Rams superfan. Jared, who, by the way, is having a crazy week when you consider the Thursday night game plus the firing of Jeff Fisher. So before we get started, we haven't been able to get your thoughts out there on that. How do you feel about the change of leadership there at the top?
You know, I was happy that it actually happened, because I was worried that they might win like two or three of their last games and somehow keep them for next year. But, I mean, their offense is just so bad. I mean, last in the league in just about every category for the last 2 years, and changed coordinators and drafted a top quarterback, and doesn't look like the coaching staff can get the quarterback ready to play. And it just had to happen. So I'm very surprised it happened when it did, especially on a short week. I mean, we were talking earlier, I don't think a coach had ever been fired the day before, or the week of a Thursday night game before. But I think it just reached a boiling point with the whole falling out with Eric Dickerson, and then the various reports about discord amongst the front office, the coaches, the GM, and then Todd Gurley even spoke out after the game against the Falcons on Sunday. And I can't ever remember like a player speaking out that harshly. So, I think it just reached a point where point of no return, and maybe even the worst thing. I mean, fans were so apathetic on Sunday. I mean, this half empty stadium in the second half, people, it was just so quiet. I mean, you can't lose a market your first year back when you're about to open a $3 billion stadium. So I think I appreciate all Jeff Fisher did with the whole difficult transition with the move. And we were a horrible team that he took over and at least brought back to respectability, but we just got stuck in that 7-9 mediocrity and just couldn't keep him anymore. So just had to go.
Yeah. We were talking earlier. My conspiracy theory is the only reason they fired him on the short week is because you guys are playing the Seahawks, and knowing the Rams, you'd probably win that game, which would make firing him more awkward, even though that's what they wanted to do. So let's just get to the preview real quick. I'll be honest. I hate when we play you guys. I do. I really, really do. Because, you know, this is true of division games in general, but I think more so here than anywhere else, where you can kind of take your kind of preconceived notions and throw them out the window. I think the Rams are just a bad matchup for the Seahawks with that defensive line and just sort of the way the team is built overall. But losing the head coach and it's being a short week, you've got to be in just disarray right now. How does your team even prepare in a situation like this?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine them pulling off a win in Seattle. I mean, even though they always beat the Seahawks at the Rams' home stadium, last year was the first year they actually did it in Seattle. I mean, Seattle's probably, that New England, the toughest stadium to go into and win. So, yeah, it's so hard to go in there and win. A short week, rookie quarterback, so loud. But, I mean, they kind of hit rock bottom last week And just with the horrible turnovers and just, I mean, their defense didn't play that bad for giving up 42 points, but I mean, they almost just had to try something. But yeah, I mean, as well as the Rams have played against the Seahawks and how they're kind of like just built to beat them with their physical style of football. Yeah, I don't know. And it seems like they always pull out all the stops, like with the trick plays and maybe extra preparation against the Seahawks. But yeah, in a short week on the road, loud environment, rookie quarterback, I give them maybe a 10% chance, and that's just because they've beat them in the past.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times when you see a head coach get fired, that first week when they have the interim coach in or whomever, there's kind of a bounce back. I think everybody sort of rallies real quick before they petering off. Who is calling the shots right now? Who's the interim head coach at the moment?
So it's Jim Fassel. It's John Fassel, his son. He's a good coach. I mean, their special teams has always been great, well-prepared. He's very detail-oriented. And, I mean, he's obviously never had been a head football coach at any level, but he's a former, I think, maybe college wide receiver or something like that. So, and he's been around the game his whole life because his dad was a coach. So, I mean, I was kind of surprised. I just figured they'd give it to Greg Williams because he has the most previous experience. But, I mean, I guess getting into a special teams coach makes sense, and just that they only have, you know, a handful of plays that they need to call throughout the game so they can kind of focus more on it. And there's no way in heck they could have made their offensive coordinator, Rob Boris, do it because he's so new even as an offensive coordinator. So, I mean, they said to him, you know, you're a fiery, passionate guy. It's kind of his MO, like, you know, bring this to the team. And the team's been so dead ever since the second half of that Saints game that they just need some sort of spark. So hopefully he can provide it short term. I mean, I highly doubt he's going to be a candidate for whoever the next head coach is. He may not even get an interview, but I feel like they're going to knit LA new stadium. They're going to look for a big name, but I was actually shocked. But now that I think about it, I think it was a good decision.
So let's talk some matchups in that game. The thing that has caused my Seahawks the most trouble, especially over this year, and especially against the Rams, has been that defensive line. Now, Aaron Donald continues to be a superman, but Robert Quinn's been kind of in and out of the lineup this year. What's his situation, and what's his status for the game?
You know, he's been battling a couple different injuries, and I think it's the last two games he sat out. So I haven't seen the most recent report, but I don't know if he's going to play this week, especially on a short week after missing the last two games, but I think he's been out a lot since the Rams 3-1 start, and it's definitely not just on him, but having two elite pass rushers to pair with Donald has definitely make it much more difficult to prepare. So his absence has definitely been missed, and he hasn't been playing really full strength since probably about week 5 or 6 of the season. So I don't know if he's going to play, but he's definitely had some big games in the past, and yeah, if the Rams do have a chance to win this game, they're going to have to get just an A-plus game out of their D-line because that's the one matchup they can kind of exploit.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Now, if he's out, I'd certainly feel much, much better about this game for the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks offensive line has gotten better as the year has progressed. Justin Britt's turned into a pretty good center, actually. The young guys like Ifedi, like George Fant, have improved as the year has gone on. They still make mistakes. They still get beat periodically, much more than I would like, but they've definitely improved. So even if it is the exact same unit we saw in week one, this offensive line has improved a lot. It's still a mismatch, and they're still not nearly as good as that Rams defensive line, but the gap, a very, very big gap, has closed a little bit. That being said, on the other side of the ball, I don't see anything advantageous for your offense. I mean, I think Todd Gurley is still a great player, but he's not getting any help from his offensive line. He's running into walls. They're stacking the box with 8, sometimes 9 players, which is exactly what I expect the Seahawks to do a lot this game. The fact that Earl Thomas is missing is going to matter come playoff time. I really, really don't care if we just don't play with any safeties against Jared Goff, I'll be honest. Am I overconfident? What's your thoughts on that matchup there?
Yeah, definitely the only... Yeah, the Rams don't have much firepower in offense. I mean, Kenny Britt has had some good games this year, and every so often, Tavon Austin will make a couple plays. So that's their only hope, is to maybe get a deep shot. I mean, Goff definitely has the arm and all the physical tools you'd want in a number one overall pick. But yeah, his offensive line is not helping him at all, and he's having to get the ball out so fast. And yeah, like you said, Gurley's, I think he leads the league in fastest contact. At one point, maybe a couple weeks ago, he was getting hit about 1 yard into each rush attempt. So the fact that he was averaging over 3 yards per carry was actually okay, considering the holds or lack of holds he was getting. So, yeah, I mean, it would have to take, you know, just – and maybe the Rams do this because they always seem to play up to the Seahawks, but, like, it would take a massive improvement across the entire offensive unit to score more than, like, 14 points, I would say, just with how lifeless they've been playing. I mean, as bad as Goff has been, the receivers definitely have caused 2 of his interceptions, and – he took, I don't know if you saw a highlight, but when they were down 42-7, he had a keeper option where he got blasted by 2 players, you know, and they're down by 35 points and got up. And I mean, I like his toughness. That's why, I mean, they just have to, with the massive 6 draft picks they paid to get him, they just have to get a good offensive coach and coach him up. Like these bottom of the barrel offensive coordinators that Fisher kept on rolling out, like Frank Cignetti and Rod Boris, like nobody's heard of. They have no experience, no passing game experience. I mean, it's just horrible. I think he's got the talent long term if they get the right coaches, but it's going to be tough, even minus Earl Thomas. I think it's going to be tough. And yeah, like you said, they're probably going to blitz him a lot. They're probably going to use 8 men in the box a lot and force Goff to beat him. And maybe he'll hit Britt for 1 or 2 and give him a chance. But yeah, most likely it's start your Seattle defense in fantasy. Probably the easiest call of the week.
Yeah, I think we're both pretty much in lockstep on this. We're on the same page that you know, it would take a dominant performance by that defensive line of the Rams, which is possible. And it would take that offense playing out of its mind right now, which is much tougher to see. So at the end of the day... go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, and I think what Russell Wilson was hurt when they played in week 2, and I think his limited mobility definitely helped the defense, and I'm assuming he's much healthier now, so that'll definitely give the Seahawks offense a boost.
He can only play better than he did this past weekend.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was shocked to see that. But yeah, I think that might be good for the Seahawks in the long term, kind of a wake-up game with, you know, a couple weeks left in the season to right your shit before the playoffs. But yeah.
You know, I definitely hope so, but I feel like that's maybe the 3rd or 4th wake-up game this year. So if they're not up yet, they got to stop hitting that snooze, man.
Yeah, well, luckily for them, the NFC West is so horrible this year. They've pretty much had an off year, yet still wrapped up the division early. So
yeah, thank goodness for that. And honestly, looking at the schedules, I still feel like they've got a much easier schedule than the Lions. So I think that number 2 seed is actually pretty doable. What's your prediction?
Definitely.
Final score?
Final score, I'll say, I'll be maybe a little optimistic and say like 20-10, the Seahawks win, but it's probably going to be more than that. I'm sure the people in Vegas are saying it's going to be bigger than that.
I'm right there with you, and I think that the Rams are, even here in Seattle, it's still going to be really tough against that defense, and I think that they're still going to play up to the Seahawks like they do, and the Seahawks will play down to the Rams a little bit, which is not meant to be insulting, but I'm calling for Seahawks 17, Rams 10. But I do think that the 7 of those 10 points come near the very end of the game and don't mean all that much.
Yeah, they might get a meaningless touchdown in garbage time. Yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping the Rams can beat the 49ers and not lose their last 3 games. Any other win would be like an extreme bonus that I'm not be shocked with.
That's the worst part though, isn't it? You can't even hope to lose some games to get a better like first round draft pick because that's gone.
Yeah, we don't even have. Yeah, exactly. In years past, like, oh, lose, get a bad draft pick, and I was like, well, I guess we have a higher second round pick. That's about all you can afford.
I will be watching close. I'm sure you will. I'm sure if you come up with any good trash talk between now and then, send it my way.
I'm not in much of a position to trash talk, so so I wouldn't be expecting any.
There goes Justin and Jared, and I'm surprised at how conservative they are on the score. I don't think it's going to be that low scoring for the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think the Seahawks are going to have much of a problem in this game. I'm not concerned about the bump teams sometimes see when they fire their head coach. I think the Rams are just awful. I've seen the Rams up close and personal. They need some help big time, and I don't even know if it's a head coach that can come in and save that team at this particular point in time. I'm going to take the Seahawks. I'm going to take them big. I'd lock them in, but I've already locked the Seattle Seahawks this year. By the way, still perfect on my locks. So, you know, I've got a good lock of the week coming up tomorrow. So you're going to want to download and listen to our Sunday preview show that will be out later on Thursday. Let's talk about some of the head coaching positions. You heard my discussion there with Daniel about the Lions coordinators. Jim Bob Cooter, I think, is going to be high on a lot of people's lists. Daniel doesn't think he's going to go anywhere. He's a little bit more worried about his defensive coordinator. And I think he might be right. I think similarly, when I look at all these lists, Josh McDaniels' name is always at the top. I don't think McDaniels wants to leave. I think he's had that experience. He knows what it's like to be without Tom Brady. I have a feeling McDaniels is just fine and young enough and now patient enough to just sit back and wait until Bill Belichick decides he's all done with coaching, which... You know, talk about Tom Brady and when is he going to be done as a quarterback? Who knows? These two guys could go on forever because they've made deals with the devil. Everyone knows that. The other head coaching candidates I see here for the Rams, Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. You know, perhaps I think that's I haven't heard much other than this article that I'm reading here from ESPN.com. Another candidate being suggested by the ESPN insiders, David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford, which I think makes a lot of sense. But again, that's if David Shaw wants to leave college coaching. You know, when I had a chance to meet with him a few years ago back at ESPN, I got the sense that he was a college guy through and through. I didn't feel like he had the desire to go into the pro ranks. It is a totally different experience. And if you want to hear, you know, how different the experience is between the NFL and the college head coaching, give Mike Yam's podcast a listen to this week. Give me a sense. This week he talks with head coach Rick Neuheisel, former head coach Rick Neuheisel. And you'll hear a lot about how the college head coaching experience, how different it is from the NFL head coaching experience. I think you'll enjoy that. Other guys on this list, Rob Chudzinski, the offensive coordinator at Indianapolis, and Jim Harbaugh. I think Jim Harbaugh is not a candidate. I think anybody that says he's a candidate, you can take him off the list right now. He's not leaving Michigan. Obviously, a lot of people are suggesting an offensive-minded head coach because they've got the young quarterback in Jared Goff, and they need some help on the offensive side of the ball. But I think you miss... Look at the Denver Broncos. The strength of that team is their defense, not their offense. So I think if you brought in a defensive-minded head coach and brought in a strong offensive coordinator like a Norv Turner, or maybe even Norv Turner as the head coach. I don't know why his name isn't being thrown out there. I think that is what's in the LA Rams' best interest. Focus on that defense, continue to build on the strength of your team, and then work slowly to bring in the pieces you need on the offensive side of the ball. That, to me, just makes the most sense. But again, I am not their general manager and probably never will be unless they're listening to this right now and they go, wow, that Pod Vader guy makes a lot of sense. We should probably hire him. Won't happen. But, you know, one could dream. I could be a GM of a team. Just look at my Madden record and look at the way that I make my picks. Bam! Last week I had 14. Can I match it this week? You'll have to wait till tomorrow to find out. We want to hear from you. Who are your head coaching candidates? Who do you think would be a perfect fit in Los Angeles? Let us know. nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast if that's easier for you. We'll read those on tomorrow's show, where I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about head coaching candidates and things of that nature, as we got a lot of spoiler games this week on the docket. Oh, yeah. A lot of teams that are going to be in a certain place to ruin other teams' season, like the Chicago Bears. I'm very intrigued by the spoiler teams, just because my team used to be one of those. But now it's not. My team spoils your season in other ways. So we'll also talk a little bit about Deflategate too, because this story should not be going away, should not be swept under the rug. And the fact that it is just shows that the NFL knows they messed up the first time. All right. On that note, I think I'll leave you with the now unemployed Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.